This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
This is The Mainframe. Welcome back to our Deadly Conversion Buster series, and in this episode, we're going to be talking about objections, specifically turning yeah, but into yes, please. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. We had a fantastic time at Authority Rainmaker Conference in Denver. It was an energy drain because of the social battery, but it was well worth it. Fantastic time.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of a combination of exhaustion and coming back. We just totally energized. I mean, we got to hear some amazing speakers, and we closed it out with Henry Rollins from Black Flag, among other things. And we got to get to spend some time with him afterwards. And I, being a metal, punk, and rock fan, going back to my teen years and hanging out in the clubs in Miami, it was kind of cool talking to him about seeing Rollins' band play in 1987 at the Cameo, and him actually remembering specific things about that show. And it was very cool to kind of connect again now in a sort of a business environment, which was kind of full circle here.
He even gave a shout out to Copyblogger at his own live show, which was really cool. I only saw that on Twitter. I didn't get to go. It's funny talking about yeah, but his entire presentation to me was about getting started, doing it yourself, going out there and making things happen. In terms of objections, our episode today, he was basically saying, whatever objections you have, they're not valid. Go ahead and do it anyway.
Yeah, the big takeaway from that was that you can do it no matter what. I mean, not taking no for an answer is a way of approaching it and kind of giving the finger to those that are telling you you can't do it. And one way to do that is to understand your audience. That's one thing that he really does. He understands exactly who he's trying to reach because he's one of them. And that's one way to do it. Another way is just, you know, really just asking the question, finding out, you know, what's holding your audience back. The objection may be your own, or it may be from the customer, but identifying them is key, because a lot of times the struggle is, what is the actual objection? I mean, what is the reason for the holdup here? What is the reason for it? What's the roadblock? What's blocking this?
Yeah, and you have to filter out the valid concerns, the things that are stopping people from buying, and the things that people are saying to you to make you feel better or make them feel better about saying no. An example of that is, we have a company that looks after our pets when we go away. They have been wanting to sell us pet food, but my wife wants to buy the pet food from the pet store, but she doesn't want to hurt their feelings. And it's crazy to me, because it's a business. They're not friends. They're not family. It's a business. And actually, you're wasting their time by keeping the dialogue going. You have to actually drill down to the real objections, the real concerns. And usually that means asking why. Don't just take the first answer. If you get the actual objection, you can understand where the objection is coming from, the emotion behind it, but also you can start talking about a solution or an answer to that objection. If you only have a superficial, surface level question, a surface level objection, then you're not going to address the real thing, and it's not going to help your conversions.
Exactly. And I'll give you a great example from my own experience with my own vet. The previous vet we had was very adamant about not getting any of the medicine or supplements or any of the sort of the heartworm pills and those sort of things from like 1-800-PET-MEDS or anywhere besides them. They were very firm about that, and they couldn't give a good answer why. And even the answers they provided weren't good answers. So I would give an objection, well, why? You're charging so much more. Why can't I get it from them? They're reputable. Why can't you give the prescription? Oh, well, we don't. We won't back it up. Well, why? Well, sometimes we don't know how long they're going to sit. Well, that wasn't a good answer to the objection. My current vet was able to explain to me reasons why they choose to do that. They said, we can get them. Actually, it started out by softening that objection by saying, well, you can get them from wherever you want. If you want us to give a prescription, we'll do that, and you can order them from wherever. However, if you get them from us, you know that we just received them in. They're the exact thing that we're prescribing. And also, to be honest with you, we're not that much more than you would be charged from getting them here. So my current vet was able to answer my objections in a way that made me feel like, well, that's a good answer. And I'm going to now purchase them from you. And I do. And I'm fine to do that, because not only am I helping out my local veterinarian, we love them. Our pets love them. Our dogs love them. And we are able to, you know, provide them with our money for the product, but they were able to address my concerns and my objections in a way that made me feel comfortable to buy through them.
Yeah, not only did they answer the concerns and answer them in a way that actually addressed you as an adult and with respect, but they added authority with their answer. They didn't just say no or because I said so. They answered in a way that said, okay, you have the option to do that, but here's the benefit, here's the advantage of going with our approach. So you don't just feel better, but you've actually learned something useful for the future that'll make you more connected to them. Because an unanswered objection or an objection that's not answered properly festers and it causes doubt. And it's in a previous episode, we talked about fear. It causes some fear. And if you look like you're avoiding answering, you look like one of those really bad, sleazy politicians. So you've got to be very careful. And one of the reasons a lot of people try to avoid objections is because they're afraid of raising the objection in the audience's mind. You have to remember, it's going to be there anyway. And you can answer and address these objections both directly and indirectly. You know, you might think that we're only wanting to sell you these drugs because we make a profit on them, but sometimes you can say, here's the advantage of getting your drugs through us, you know, getting your service or product through us versus other outlets. And you can just talk about it in a beneficial way. So don't be afraid of objections. You really do need to address them.
The point there is that the answer helps educate the customer. We've been talking about that through this entire series, and we talk about that a lot. An educated buyer is a buyer who feels that they've gotten something and they feel comfortable about their purchase. And by educating with an answer, you can, like you had just said, you can demonstrate your authority in a way that makes them feel comfortable buying from you versus in a way that makes them feel, you know, disrespected or that they're ignorant, that they don't know. It's an amazing how just the way you phrase something and the way you present an answer can make somebody feel stupid, or you can actually make them feel like, hey, I am here to educate you because I do know a little bit more about this, but let me tell you in a way that makes you feel empowered. And that's what this is really about, educating and empowering with the answer so they can let go of that objection.
And that's one of the reasons I like to do webinars. First of all the questions you get on a webinar is a form of an objection. You get the regular objections like, how much is it going to cost? That sounds like it's quite a lot. And okay, it sounds like it'll work for these people, but will it work for me? But then you get other questions like, how long is it going to take? These are things that should be in the copy. But by answering them in a Q&A, in the webinar, you can actually have people, instead of feeling dumb or instead of people feeling ashamed that they're having to answer, you can help them feel smart by answering the question. You can say, that's a really good question, or thank you for answering that, asking that. By being interactive, it's also giving people a comfort and a connection to you and a relationship, because personalities are coming into play. It's hard to do some of that in text. So a Q&A or a webinar can actually bring out objections, but allow you to answer them in a way that you can test the response. Was that a sufficient answer? Let me know with follow-up questions. You can answer the biggest objections, because if 10 people ask the same thing, you know that's something that really should be in the copy.
Exactly. And you also want to have a way of repeating that. So you'll do it in the copy, and you can provide that in testimonials that the customers have provided you that answers things that are already in the copy and FAQs. And in video, and in, if you do webinars or you do an audio interview, you keep bringing up those items that are constant or the typical types of objections. And by having it repeated in multiple formats in a variety of different places, it comes out a lot more clear. You get the message across, and it's anything that's repeated, you get to see it really sticks, and you get to reinforce those things that you've already presented, but in a new way, in a new form. So they're constantly having their objections and constantly having their questions answered.
Yeah. And it gives you a feeling of confidence when you read copy that is upfront and honest and transparent about things that may be concerning you. Then you feel the comfort because it's coming across with confidence. It's coming across with authority. When you try to hide or have like an asterisk little caveat, it doesn't have that same confidence. Launched just recently, I'd love to know how it went. Did a webinar right at the deadline. So I think the deadline for the launch was midnight Eastern time. And I think the webinar was like 9 p.m. And it was an objections webinar. They actually came out and said, if you've got any remaining questions, then come on this webinar and we'll answer them all. I think that was a really good idea. I'd love to know if it worked for them. Because anybody that doesn't buy until right at the deadline has been thinking about it, has been questioning it, and has been uncertain. And if you can tip anybody over on that final hour, then you could get more sales. The downside is anybody that feels persuaded or pushed is likely to refund. So you have to do it in a way that's confident and with authority, but also you have to say, maybe this isn't for you. You might explicitly say, if any of these match, then this probably isn't for you. For example, we might have an advanced course where we say, you know, if you've never made a dollar online, then you need to do this course instead first. Make your first dollar and then come back to us. Don't try to answer every objection in a way that says buy.
So that really brings up the third piece of this, which is how do you reinforce those answers to help people feel more confident in their purchase?
The Mainframe is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, a complete website solution for building your own online marketing and sales platform. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform. Stop trying to hack together your website yourself. Head over to rainmaker.fm/platform today and get back to building your business.
And there's several different ways you can do this. One way is by offering a freemium product or a free trial, because there's these last nagging questions that people have. And if you offer a trial and let them get in there and see it themselves, they can answer those objections themselves. They can actually feel more confident in their purchase. You can provide a webinar like you were talking about earlier, where you demonstrate those things and answer those last questions that people have. You can use social proof. There's a lot of different ways to go about this, right?
Yeah, and the simplest way to reinforce it is, like you say, demonstrate. Instead of telling, show. So we've mentioned before in previous episodes, show people inside your member area, right? One of the objections is, does this thing even exist? I buy into a lot of Kickstarters, and so far I've not been burned too badly. But there are a few times that I should have seen the warning signs. The trust factor is increased when somebody can see something in action. And at the same time as you're saying, okay, this thing is real, you can say, look how quick and easy it is, because people can see you clicking around, or they can see that the operation is simple and obvious. So you don't have to have a telephone directory sized manual to go through before you can even get some benefit out of it.
Another way, a great way to reinforce, is through your guarantee. And we talked about this in a previous episode about gaining trust. By providing a refund period or providing a money-back guarantee, that overcomes the biggest objection sometimes of, well, I'm going to give you money, but I don't know what I'm going to get. By clearly stating that you're going to get a time period that you can make sure that this is right for you, that overcomes those last objections that people have, because even though they're giving you the money, they know that they still have a chance to say, you know what, this isn't right for me. So that's a huge way to kind of get over that, those last objections.
Yeah. And if you're going to address these objections in a way that feels natural and conversational, you're going to get a lot more trust and a lot more confidence. But also you can introduce elements that flow a little bit easier and smoother rather than just having an FAQ. So an FAQ can work really well, but it's kind of the last resort. It's kind of the afterthought. So an FAQ is easy to update, it's easy to build on, but when you're trying to reinforce it, it's really good to have elements that address both the logical and the emotional. A good way of doing that is to have case studies and testimonials with feel, felt, and found. And this is a sales technique that goes back a long, long time, way before my time. But what it does is it addresses concerns in a way that says, okay, I can empathize, but here is how you might think about it differently. You're not saying you're wrong. You're saying, okay, other people have felt that way. I felt that way, but here's what we found. So it's saying you were right to feel that way, but here's the information you were missing, or here's how experience differs from what you were worried about.
Yeah. So how do we wrap this up here? So we have these things that people are the typical objections that come up in that final piece of the sales process. And we've addressed some of those here. So what are the takeaways of how to address these objections?
So the first thing is to either guess or find out what the objections are. And even when you guess, you should validate them against real customers, real prospects. Find out what they really were nervous about, what was holding them back. If you guess, you really do need to validate with real customers, real prospects, because you need to ask why. Why was that a concern? Why was that holding you back? And then fold all that into your answers, but you want answers that give you more authority, that emphasize your benefits, and answers that don't try to persuade everybody to buy, because not everybody is going to be a good customer. So you can use copy, you can use testimonials, you can use FAQs. But don't just leave your answer expecting people to take your word for it. You need to show as well as tell. You need to give people trial periods, and you need to use evidence and proof.
So that's addressing your objections. In our next episode and our final episode in this Deadly Conversion Buster series, we're going to talk about bad headlines. So we'll see you next time.